take a moment to pray for our boys and girls before they head out to Children's Church. Lord, we thank you that you love us so. Help our boys and girls to know that this morning as they head to Children's Church and to Sunday school. Bless those who help them, who teach them, who lead them. Together, may they know new depths of your love for them. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Our younger boys and girls head out to Children's Church. Last week we started a series of studies on the church, marks of the church, if you like, and looked for a little while at that early church recorded for us at the end of Acts chapter 2, a church that was growing, a church that was huge, it was mushrooming. We read at the end of chapter 2, verse 41, that 3,000 people were added to the number of the church on the day of Pentecost. There was a massive explosion within the church. 3,000 people added to that church. And then as we read on through the chapter, we discover the Lord was adding daily to the number who were being saved. So this church is just rapidly growing. And there must have been a lot of confusion. Thousands of people coming into this church, coming into this fellowship together. Something that was new, there wasn't a church before that. The people of God had existed all through history, but there was no church as such. How were these new people to behave? What were they to believe? What was to guide them and lead them? It was an exciting time and yet a time of confusion. How did people know what to believe? What could they carry over from their heritage? What could they carry over from their Jewish heritage or maybe their Greek heritage? What could they carry over with them into this new Christian experience? What did they need to leave behind them? What was just cultural in their understanding but had nothing to do with their faith and could be left behind? The big questions. Big questions that as Christians we still face today. In a world where there is so much information, how do we know what to believe? In a world where there are so many different viewpoints and understandings, so many different voices competing for us, how do we know what to believe? In a world where almost anything seems to go, how do we know how to behave? The early church wrestled with it. When you read all through the rest of the New Testament, you find churches that struggled with what do we believe and how does that affect how we behave? And it's something the church has never really lost. We still have that struggle. The real issues. If you go back in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 7, you discover there were problems there because there were Christians there who were from a Greek background. And they reckoned that the widows in that community weren't being looked on as favorably as widows from the Jewish background. Is there some sort of discrimination going on in the early church? How do we work this out? So they had to sit down and work out how they behaved. Acts chapter 15 addresses the same sort of thing. Should we expect everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ to be the same as us? Should we expect everybody to behave exactly the same way, to have the same customs, to have the same heritage? Or can people be different? And they wrestled with it. And we still wrestle with it. Luke, as he writes the Acts of the Apostles, observes the early church. And here's one of the, the first things that he observed about the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We could have noticed any number of things. He's already commented on how big the church was, how fast it was growing. But here's the first thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This huge number wasn't content simply with the great experience of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon his people. They weren't simply content with that wonderful experience. They wanted to try and understand their newfound faith. They wanted to try and work out really what it meant for them. They wanted to grow in their faith. That doesn't mean that they dispensed with the work of the Holy Spirit. Far from it. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So when people are seeking for truth, the Spirit of truth is at work. This early church devotes itself to the apostles' teaching. Now, this idea of devoting is just giving yourself totally. What a great word for Valentine's weekend. Of devotion. Of giving oneself completely. This early church didn't just give the occasional little nod to the apostles' teaching. Didn't just scurry off if there was a disagreement or a misunderstanding. This early church just simply devotes themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was that? Well, it included everything that Jesus himself had taught them. You remember the end of Matthew chapter 28, when what we call the Great Commission, as Jesus sends his disciples out into the world, what he says is, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So the teaching of the apostles certainly included everything that Jesus had taught. It was especially centered around the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The teaching of the apostles. And this was where that early church turned to find direction in their newfound faith. They turned to the teaching of the apostles. And if you read through that little passage in Acts chapter 2, you discover that the authority of the apostles to teach was authenticated by wonders and miraculous signs. God didn't simply say, head off to these people over here. God showed that they were people of authority by these signs and miraculous things that were happening. And people went and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, we no longer have apostles as such. The apostles were those who had witnessed firsthand the ministry of Jesus Christ. Those who had experienced personally the ministry of Jesus Christ. We no longer have apostles, but we do have the teaching of the apostles, which has come down to us in the New Testament. So, in our day, what does devotion to the apostles' teaching look like? We don't have the apostles. We can't go and listen to them. Devotion to the apostles' teaching simply means devoting ourselves, submitting ourselves to the authority of the Bible. And that's what was happening in that early church. John Stott puts it beautifully when he simply says, the Spirit of God leads the people of God to submit to the Word of God. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is at work. He is changing people's lives. He is transforming them, but he doesn't leave them without help, without guidance, without direction. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, leads them to submit to the Word of God. The Spirit of God. Leading the people of God to submit to the Word of God. Hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Patty read for us those familiar words from 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you want to turn them up in the Pew Bible, page 1196 of the Pew Bible. And here we discover Paul talking again about, well, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? And one of the first things that Paul simply says as he reminds Timothy is, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture. Not just the parts of Scripture that we find comfortable, easy to understand, easy to apply in our lives, but actually all Scripture is God-breathed. Even the bits that we find very uncomfortable. Even the bits that are just so difficult to live out. The bits that are difficult to understand, to reason. All Scripture is God-breathed. God is so actively involved in the writing of Scripture that the Bible is for us the infallible, the authoritative breath of God, Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. Peter, 1 Peter, talks about the Bible again, about prophecy. And Peter says this, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man. Scripture never came from the will of man. It wasn't somebody waking up one morning thinking, you know what, I'll write some holy scriptures today. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit at work again, God breathing into them as they write down the words of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. God's Word. Every time within a Presbyterian church that there's an ordination of ministers or elders, this phrase is used. The Word of God is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. The Word of God. The only infallible rule of faith and practice. Now, one of the things that I think we need to note is it's the Word of God that is infallible. It's not our understanding. It's not our interpretation of the Word of God. The Word of God is infallible and authoritative. Not necessarily our understanding, not necessarily our interpretation. And so we need to have humble hearts. We need to have open minds as we discuss Scripture together. But God's Word in itself is infallible and authoritative. So when we as Christians want to know what we should believe, that's faith. If we want to know how we should behave, that's practice. Then we turn to God's Word. Just as those early Christians did in Jerusalem, as that church was burgeoning, bursting at the seams. How do we sort this out? How do we find direction? How do we find guidance? How do we know what God wants of us? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Again, that lovely phrase, the Spirit of God leads the people of God to submit to the Word of God. It's good to discuss. It's good to talk. It's good even sometimes to argue about issues that we face. But ultimately, we turn to God's Word, not to our own wisdom, not to our own understanding, not to our own interpretation. We turn to God's Word and pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us as His people to submit to His Word, to know His will, to find His direction for our lives. So when Paul is talking to Timothy about Scripture, he simply says, I want you to remember what it's about. It's there to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to train. When you need to be taught, when you need to be corrected, when you need to be rebuked, when you need to be trained, Timothy, don't forget Scripture. Turn back to Scripture. Turn back to God's Word. That early church, as they tried to wrestle through what it was to follow Jesus Christ in their situation, they didn't just sit down and form think tanks and committees and develop strategies. They went back to God's Word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And through God's Word, they were taught, rebuked, corrected, trained. And the interesting thing is that it all led to their behavior. all of this teaching and correcting and training and rebuking so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It wasn't just so they could stuff their heads full of Bible knowledge and answer all the questions on the TV quizzes about the Bible. It was so that they could live Christian lives. You and I live in very similar situations to that early church, where there was so much going on. There was so much pressure. There were so many competing voices and pressures and opinions. Where do we turn? How do we work out what is right? Devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, devoting ourselves, submitting ourselves to God's word. That's why the Bible is central to us as Presbyterians. That's why when we are looking at services here, our theme governs everything else. We don't pick music and then hope that the theme fits in with that. We have gifted people who when they know what the theme is, they pick praise and worship that fits with that theme. And so our understanding of Scripture is central to what we as Presbyterians do here, Sunday by Sunday. The Word of God is at the very heart of who and what we are. Because there we find our guidance, our direction, our purpose. It's also why at the Kirk Session here, our elders have identified devotion to God's word as one of the aspects of church life on which we want to focus over this next period of time. We want to encourage ourselves to be more and more devoted to the apostles' teaching, more and more submitting to the word of God. And so it will affect our services. Also, that's why we're running midweek Bible studies. It's not just simply to put in an evening for you. I'm sure there are plenty of other things you could be doing. But over these series of midweek Bible studies, we're looking at some of the central issues of our faith and trying to wrestle with what it means. So this Wednesday evening, we'll meet here in the Octagon, and I encourage you to come along. It'd be lovely if the Octagon wouldn't hold us. But we meet to submit to God's word, to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, because that's our rule of faith and practice. Not only what we believe, but then how that affects how we live, how we behave. Our midweek Bible studies are so important. Then our home groups will pick up the things that we talk about in those midweek Bible studies, and they'll take them back to their home groups. They'll discuss them a little bit more, and they'll look at, well, how does this affect me? How does this change the way I live? How does this affect my behavior, my character? Now what I've learned from Scripture, how do I apply it to my own life? The midweek Bible studies, the home groups, are essential parts of this submitting to the Word of God, devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching. Please be part of it. It's not there just to put a slot in the news sheet and in the calendar. It's there so that we may grow as Christians, as we devote ourselves to God's Word. But it's not only about being submitted to God's word as groups and as a congregation. It's also about taking time ourselves. I haven't heard the statistics recently, but one of the scary statistics that goes around is simply this. If you were to measure the amount of time that families spend together in sort of meaningful time together in a day, apparently, you can measure it in minutes. Measure the amount of time those same people spend in front of a screen of some sort, and in the same day, it's measured in hours. Now, What's going to have the biggest influence on that family? The screen. Whatever it is that's seen, whatever it is that's listened to, whatever it is that's interacted with on that screen, that's going to have the big influence. As God's people, we need to be interacting with His Word. So that when we do watch things and listen things and interact with things, we know what is right and what's wrong. Because we've submitted to God's Word, we know, I don't want to be part of this. Or I do want to be part of this. Wouldn't it be amazing if we spent as much time reading and submitting to God's Word as we do sitting in front of a screen, whatever that screen may be? The Spirit of God leads the people of God to submit to the Word of God. Take time to read scriptures. And it's not just a case of opening the Bible and just reading the first thing that comes at you there. That's not a helpful way to read scripture. You need to find some sort of systematic way of reading through scripture. Not so long ago, I heard the lovely story about a young man who was looking for guidance as to where he might go to serve God. And as he was thinking about this, he dipped his hand into the box of Quality Street, and out came that lovely purple one with the big Brazil nut in the middle of it. And well, as far as he was concerned, it was a word from God, Brazil. Go for Brazil. He explained this to somebody and they said, just be thankful there are no Mars bars in the Quality Street box. You can't simply dip into scripture and just take what you read. We need to be systematic about our reading of scripture. So get your hands on Bible reading notes. Faith Mission Bookshop in Coleraine. Any of our Christian bookshops carry Bible reading notes. If you can't get to the bookshop, if you contact the church office, we will order Bible reading notes for you. It is just so important that as individuals and as groups of people, as friends, as home groups, as prayer partners, as Bible study groups, as a congregation, we submit to God's Word. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching so that in this confused and sometimes difficult world, we know what to believe. We know whom we believe. And we know how to behave. May God give us the grace to have ears to hear His Spirit at work. May God give us the grace to be open to the leading and guiding of His Holy Spirit, as this same Spirit leads us to submit to God's Word. Amen. Our children leave for Sunday school at this stage, and we join together to sing the hymn that reminds us again of God's Word. Lord, Thy Word abideth, and our footsteps guideth. Shall we stand together?